Will you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 11, as we refresh our memory and say that we have been studying together this chapter under the suggestion that in it we would find the formidable foe which Joshua faced as he carried on his battle in the occupation of the land of Canaan. We recognized the reassurances of a faithful father, and we said that in today's study we wanted to notice the forceful fight in which Joshua must engage if the victory has been won. Of course, we have been drawing spiritual parallels to this experience or experiences in the life of Joshua, as we recognize that we are engaged in a very real battle with Satan. Now, I would suggest to you that you read and reread the 11th chapter of the book of Joshua. Time does not permit the reading of the chapter in its entirety, but if you read and reread it, you will find these truths better delineated for you and perhaps better understood. Now, the first thing that we are going to notice in this forceful fight are the things which are necessary if the fight is to be effective. As I glance over the chapter, I find three things which are necessary. The first one I have been pleased to describe in the words, confidence in the Lord. And it comes to me from the 7th verse of the 11th chapter. So Joshua came, and all the people of war with him, against them, by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. They immediately, suddenly, came against the Canaanites, and swiftly fell upon them, tooth and toenail, to put them to riot. The implication of the statement is that Joshua believed what God had said. He didn't go back to Gilgal, call his men together and say, God told me that we would win the victory, and I sure hope we do, but just in case we don't, you might better just leave your wife a note, because you might not come back from the battle. No, he didn't do that. As soon as God said, I'll deliver them, you go and get them, off he went and got them. I love that kind of confidence in the Lord. You know, we don't see it too often, do we? Well, I suggest you think about it and ask yourself, do you have that kind of confidence in the Lord? Or turning the question into ourselves, do I have that kind of confidence in the Lord? Now, what I'm about to say, some people are going to think is rather silly, but it's an illustration of what I have in mind. I flew to a certain place for a Bible class one time, and I asked the Lord to give me a safe journey there and back. And I didn't even waste any money on an air insurance policy. Well, somebody said, isn't that rather foolish? You don't know the end from the beginning. Shouldn't you brought some insurance on that plane so your family would have been taken care of if something had happened? Now, don't let me discourage you and have your plane wreck and your family not have anything to live on. I'm not speaking against insurance and the advisability of it. I'm just giving you a testimony for the moment. When I ask God to do something for me, I expect him to do it. And for me, it would be the greatest indication of lack of faith. It may not be for you, but for me, it would be the greatest indication of lack of faith to ask God to give me a safe trip from one place to another and then take out insurance in case he didn't. Now, wait just a minute. There have been times when I have asked the Lord to give me a safe trip to a certain destination. Now, the Lord has never spoken to me audibly. If he has spoken to you, the Lord bless you, but he never has spoken to me audibly, but the Lord has spoken to my heart many times. And sometimes when I have prayed in the manner that I've just described, God spoke to my heart. And if I could not get a clear signal that I was going to get to my destination safely, you see, I didn't know but what God might have a purpose in preventing that. I didn't know what other people might be involved in the journey that he would have to be dealing with. So if I did not get a clear signal, I would buy the insurance. But when I get a clear signal, I don't. Because for me, and I'm emphasizing that today, for me, it would be casting away of confidence in God after he has given assurance. When Joshua stood before the Lord and the Lord said, I'm going to annihilate all those enemies, I'm going to conquer them, you go get them. If Joshua had stood by his men and said, that's what God said, but I'm not sure that he'll do it, it would have been a lack of confidence. And I want to suggest to you, my friend, that if you fight the forceful fight, such as we are talking about, you're going to have confidence in the Lord. And if your fight is going to be victorious, there's going to have to be a compliance with the word of the Lord. And that's the second thing. Confidence in the Lord, compliance with the word of the Lord. What do I mean by that? Well, let's let the word speak for itself. Look at verse 9 of Joshua chapter 11. Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hawked their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. Then down in verse 11, they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and he burnt Hazor with fire. And all the cities of those kings and all the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword. And notice, he, the words repeated again, utterly destroyed them as, notice, Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. And if you will look further over in the chapter, you will notice in verse 15, as the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Notice, my friend, the accuracy of the Holy Spirit. There is a positive obedience possible for the children of God, and there is a negative disobedience. Joshua did everything that God told him to do, and he did not neglect to do what he knew he should do. You know, there are any number of Christians who are not sincere in their desire to go all the way with God, and they will do what is plainly stated in the Word of God they ought to do. But when the opportunity for them to make the decision is given, they don't give God the benefit of the doubt. You say, well, what harm is there in a certain thing? There's nothing in the Bible about that. There's nothing against that in the Bible. There's no direct command. So why do I need to give the Lord the benefit of the doubt? That's where you need to give the Lord the benefit of the doubt, right there. Joshua did everything God told him to do and then looked around and said, I wonder if there's something I've forgotten to do. Have you ever done that? My friend, that's total obedience. Most of us get by with just as little as we can as far as obedience is concerned. Just enough, that's all, but not Joshua. He was going to fight a battle that he wanted to be victorious, so he obeyed. And then he looked around to see if there was anything he forgot to do. And I'm quite sure, if anything had been brought to his attention, he would have done it. Now, the third thing that I want you to notice with me about this forceful fight is what I have described as constancy in the battle. Confidence in the Lord, number one. Compliance with His word, number two. Constancy in the battle, number three. These three things are absolutely necessary. Notice now the 18th verse of Joshua 11. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. My, what a direct statement that is. He made war a long time. And if I could stretch that word long out any further, I would do it. My friend, the battle which we fight is not over in a day. You know, it would be good for all of us if we could meet the enemy in a certain kind of attack he brings against us and defeat him, and then chalk it up in the books and say, well, that's one battle I will never have to fight again. Well, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Pretty soon we would get our little books full, and we would say, you know, I've just about fought all the battles there are to fight. The devil can't do very much more. But just about the time you think that the thing that has been bothering you is not going to bother you anymore, it starts again. Just about the time you think you've got it made, you haven't. It's a long battle. I know that I may sound discouraging, but I'm practical, my friend. You don't win it all at once. You have to keep on keeping on. Now, of course, you've got sense enough to know that I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about victory. I'm talking about the battle that we have against the enemy. You see, salvation is God's free gift. His own dear Son purchased that salvation for you and for me. And it is yours for the receiving. As many as receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to them God gives the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Oh, that we might receive Jesus Christ today, that we might believe in Him. If you have never made a definite commitment to Jesus Christ on the basis of the Word of the living God, let me encourage you today to make that commitment. Let the Lord Jesus Christ become your Savior, and write and tell us that you made that decision for Him.